Father in heaven, your word is corrective in our lives. It's instructive in our lives. It's powerful. It's living. And so hide me behind the cross. Forgive me for the places that I fail or anything in me that would prevent you from speaking through me this morning. Fill me with your spirit and speak to listening hearts. May we be attentive to your word. May we be responsive to the truth and do a deep work in and through our body of believers, our community, and our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me spin you up to speed really fast. We started a series last Sunday. It's called I Design. We're exploring God's role for men, for women, for relationships, for family. We're going to talk about all kinds of things, right from God's design for us, uniquely male and female, intergenerational relationships, honoring your parents, what does it mean to have a mentor in your life, how we're supposed to operate in marriage, how we're supposed to operate in family. It's going to take us right through the June with a little break around Easter. And you are here this morning at the message for men. This week and next week, God's design, men. Let's hear it. Come on. Somebody got it. Now, disclaimer time. This is for my heart as well as my friends. I share with you what God is impressing on me. Ladies, you can take notes, but you can't hold us to this. No. Because your turn's coming, let me tell you. And what we're going to do is I'm going to unpack a little bit about God's original intention in creation for men and their role. Next week, we're going to talk about how the fall distorts that and how our culture comes along and sidetracks it. And how they take what God made us, the image that we were meant to reflect, these God-bearing things in us, and how it can be something that just gets off track and brings destruction. And ladies, your turn is right after that. This is instructive for the whole family. We need to be able to teach our children about this. We need to be able to pass it on. We need to be able to reflect on it. And it's important stuff. Some of you are almost pointing, going, you don't have a PowerPoint up. And I know, it's great, isn't it? I'm not locked into anything this morning. I can just freeform. We're not having a PowerPoint this morning because, there you go. because I just wanted to share from my heart. And I just want to tell you what God is showing me. So the reason that I'm doing this series, I work with families, and I'm out in our community, and I'm friends with my neighbors, and I'm raising my children. I now have a 16 and a 14-year-old in my house. Everybody in my house drives now, and it's a disaster, actually. I never get to drive anymore. It's horrible. And I don't want their definition of who they are as made in the image of God to be defined by their culture. Because the families that I'm working with, I just see mass destruction. I want them to understand what it means to live up to who God made you and to understand God's design and to choose to do life in a way that's constructive, not destructive. In a way that brings blessing, not pain. And in a way that leaves a legacy. Last week we talked about the fact that God created all things on the earth, under the earth, above the earth. That out of the creative heart of God and the desire to have relationship, he created the world and he created mankind in his image. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And he created us with a role in mind, with a design, that if we function within that design, we live up to and we give glory to God. Have you ever tried to use something for that which it was not intended to be used for? Oh, come on. Some of you guys, put your hands up. You have. I know you have. Every wife ever caught you with a kitchen implement trying to fix something? See, you're laughing. It's funny now. But when they get caught, it's not funny. God designed us to function in a role and function with a purpose. That's just reality, and we talked about that last week. We also talked about the fact that we have an enemy. that Satan wanted to be like God, was cast out of heaven with his followers, that he set out to take from God that which is God's, and he is at war with God. And if God created you and loved you and had a purpose for you, his goal isn't to get you to like him more than God. His goal is simply to take what's God's and destroy it. To prevent you from reflecting what God designed you to reflect, to enjoy what he designed you to enjoy, you're kind of irrelevant in the whole war. You're just another thing that he can take away. And we also talked last week about the truth that God loved us so much that when sin came into the world, he set about redeeming mankind and restoring things to the way he created them originally. And he gave us the end. It's in the book. And the ultimate restoration, the new heaven and the new earth, is coming. And it's true, and we need to live in light of it. So let's start today with the creation story. I'm going to read a few passages for you. I'm going to start in Genesis 1, 26 to 31. Then we'll read some of chapter 2. And then we're going to get down to three fundamental aspects that God gave to men as image bearers of God. Let's start. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning on the sixth day. In chapter 2, we find the account fleshed out a little bit as the stories told about the actual creation of man and woman. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. And drop down to verse 15. The Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Now, there's a couple key things I want you to grasp just as I jump in here. The first is, note in the story that we're uniquely made in the image of God, both male and female. I want you to understand we're talking equal in value, okay? That we're all made in the image of God, that God loves us, and that he designed us unique, male and female, but equal in value. So don't hear me say anything. Don't misinterpret anything that says I'm not saying we're equal in value in the eyes of God. I'm saying we have distinct roles. I want you to see that mankind, male and female, were a product of creation. They were made by God with a purpose. He said, let us make man, let's put him over creation. I have a job for him to do. Let us make woman, because no suitable helpmate is found. I have a job for her to do. We have given roles. We are not a product of our environment. We're a product of our Creator. I'll say that again. We're not a product of our environment. We are a product of our Creator. And I want you to notice that in the original creation, God had a design. And thirdly, I want you to see that we're designed for relationship. That when God made mankind, he made them to be in relationship with God and in relationship with each other. And our roles are to fit and to complement one another. But both roles are important. Okay? So those are my kind of disclaimers. And let me just do an aside. I always come over here when I do that. I don't know. You people seem to need it. So just time out for 2 seconds here. If we understand these roles and embrace them, and we figure out what we were designed to do, and we evaluate our lives and make some changes, it's then as we start talking about relationship, where we're fathers, where we're husbands, where we're wives, where we're mothers, where we're grandmothers, where we're children. Once we understand the roles, the rest of it is all about the roles relating the way God designed. So this is really fundamental information, fundamental and key things for us to grasp. But let's get into it. God's designed men. 3 ways that God created us specifically in his image. 3 things that we men have to understand and embrace in God's design. The first, men, you were made to be productive. You were made to be productive, okay? You weren't made to be consumers. You weren't made to be completely passive. You were designed with a role in mind. Remember what it says in Genesis? Let us make man in our image, the triune God talking, and let us put him over creation. And then it says he brings the animals by and says, give him a name. What's that look like? Platypus. Where did that come from? He was creative, right? And productive. And God said, the creative part of me, the productive part of me, I'm going to give that to you. You have a job to do. The whole earth was made, and I created you to tend creation. Then he adds to the role. There's no suitable helper for you, and I'm going to make woman, and you are going to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And what does it say? Subdue it. It says you are to be productive. Now, have you ever noticed this about men? Nothing's ever good enough, is it? I mean, just think about it. It might work fine, but we just want to tweak it a little bit. How many of you have pulled your skidoo apart and it's running fine? You just thought you could get a little more out of it. Yeah. Or how many of you like to just improve something or upgrade it, or took a perfectly functional room apart to make it better? Yeah. We're productive. We're creative. You know what? At work and at home, it just fundamentally, men like to upgrade, to build, to create, to do. We're built to be image bearers of God that are productive. Okay? If you're here this morning and you're like, man, I'm unsatisfied in life. And you think, I should change careers or I should change. Perhaps you need to go right back to say, where am I with this design of God where he designed me to work? Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. He designed me to produce. He put in me the desire to cultivate God. to cultivate a family, a wife, children, business, home, etc., etc. Have you ever found that if a man has nothing to do, he gets bored? Have you ever seen that if they get bored, they generally get destructive? They need to focus. They need something productive to be about. It isn't good for man not to have productivity. Now, I don't want you to miss this. We're made in the image of God, and God had a design in creation, and we know from the story of creation that he said, I want you to tend the earth. I'm going to create a part of the garden here. See that? Replicate it. Have children. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Expand. Make order out of chaos. Make it better. Plant more gardens. Expand your territory. Expand your reach. Build a family. He gave mankind a role, and as an image bearer of God, you are to be creative and productive. Have you ever thought that when sin comes into the world, that very thing becomes harder for man? In chapter 3, when the serpent comes to Eve, it says that Adam and Eve were together, and the serpent says two things to Eve. First, the serpent says to Eve, God just doesn't want you to do this. He knows you'll be like him. And secondly, he says, doesn't that look good? You should take it. Then you will be like God. And encourages Eve to not only ignore the instruction that God gave Adam, but to bring Adam along. And when she does that, and God comes, there's a curse. And it says this. In verse 13, then the Lord God said to the woman, what have you done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, so I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, cursed are you above the livestock and all the wild animals. You'll crawl on your belly and you'll eat dust all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between the woman and her offspring, your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Now listen to what he says to Adam. Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow will you eat your food, until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust to dust you will return. This productive nature that we get from being image bearers of God becomes really difficult because of the fall. All of a sudden, toil comes into it. And you guys, yeah, some of you, when you talk to me, I hate my job. I have to get up in the morning. Of course, you have to get up in the morning. It's a job. They pay you to go and do it. Work is going to be hard. Making a living is going to be hard. Part of being a man means we're going to have to toil to be productive. And that's just a part of the fall. But productivity, creativity, to be a producer, is part of being an image bearer of God. The second thing I want you to see is that we were created for battle. I thought I'd get some. Actually, we were created to be warriors. Let me explain this. I was thinking about this as I was driving home from Edmonton the other day, and people must have thought I was crazy because I was laughing in the truck. I have relatives who, I come from a long line of Mennonites, and they're pacifists, and I was trying to come up with a better word than we were created to be warriors. Because I thought, I'll get phone calls. They listen online. And then it occurred to me, let them call. What are they going to do about it? Yeah, that's offside, isn't it? Yeah. Have you ever seen little kids? When they want to stand up and be tough. Chris was telling me about this. He says, you know, bigger kids will threaten Naya and Silas will jump in there. Warrior, protector. Have you ever thought that a part of who God is that he is a warrior? That he cast from heaven those who rebelled? That there's a war in the heavenlies? You can't read the scriptures and hear what he commands his people to do as he says, you're going to be my people and you're going to go in and there's injustice happening and you're going to wipe them out as a people. You're going to take them over. It's wrong. It stinks in my eyes. I'm going to use you to do that. Part of the male role, the male psyche, is that you have a warrior inside you. That's part of the image of God given to the male and part of the role that you fill. Now, we're going to talk next week about what happens when sin distorts this and we become bullies or we use our authority wrongly and we start to take what is meant for good and use it for destruction and selfishness, and it's wrong. So don't hear me say it's okay to be a bully. But let me tell you this in the clearest way I can. We're built with that competitive nature. We're supposed to protect, uphold, fight for truth. God has enemies. We have an enemy. And we're to be on guard and we're to be protecting and creating. So what we create and what we build, what we produce, we're naturally inclined to protect. Yes? Come and threaten my home and see what happens. I'm going to fight. When there's injustice happening in the world, what should we do? If our hearts are the same as God's heart, we should stand up and say, enough. No more. There's a story in the Bible where a daughter of God gets raped and the sons of God get together and they kill 25,000 people. They protect. They defend truth. They stand against injustice. God is a God of strength. He disciplines those he loves. If he created you as a man, he created you to be productive. And when you get sick or when you get discouraged or down, often you lose your drive in life and it's not healthy and it's all signs that something's going wrong. He created you to be productive and to work and to toil and to expand your territory in a sense where you take a wife and you begin to protect her and nurture her and you have family and begin to protect and nourish them and build into them. And God created you not only to be a productive, creative cultivator of life, he built you to be a warrior. He built you to be the defender, to stand for truth. It says to Adam, here's the earth, take it, subdue it. And next week we're gonna expand on this a little bit, so my time is running and I don't want to spend too much time here, but here's the deal. When they're in the garden and Adam and Eve are together and the serpent comes and talks to Eve, Adam is supposed to interject and stand for truth. And if you read ahead in Scripture and you understand the patriarchal structure of how that whole thing set up, Adam was created first. God gave him very explicit instructions. He did not follow them. And Adam was held responsible. Men, as uncomfortable as this is, and Chris and I were just talking about it, whether it's your fault or not, God holds you accountable in your home. Do you understand that? When we get to the role of a husband and the role of a father, there's an accountability before God. Are you protecting your home from cultural influences? Are you protecting your children from those things that are going to draw them astray? Are you busy building a life with God and a character internally that allows you to protect and to set the example? You see, there isn't a man in this room that would put his loved ones in a vehicle that he knew was unsafe and send them on the highway to Edmonton, is there? Why? Because we love them. We want to protect them. We would do whatever it took to do everything in our power to make it safe for that to happen. If injustice comes into your home, you want to respond for your children, for your wife. God designed us with the warrior inside. The third thing about how God built us in role is that we were created to be legacy leavers. We were created to build something that transcended us. Now, when God says to him, here's the earth, take it, fill it, subdue it, be fruitful and multiply, he's saying, do something that goes from generation to generation to generation. As he goes further on and sets up the rules for his chosen people and how they're to operate, you know, they're supposed to be legacy leavers. They're supposed to be impressing truth on their children and their children's children. And that a father that honors God, that goes from generation to generation to generation to generation. See, you were made a man. You were created for a role. Whether you live up to that role or not is largely up to you. But you are going to leave a legacy. Will it be a good one or a bad one? There's no opting out. You can leave a legacy of selfishness and live for yourself. You can leave a legacy of being a consumer, not a producer. You can leave a legacy of never embracing the role God designed you to enjoy and leave disaster in your wake. You can go out and try and get sex without marriage and commitment. You can go out and try and have children without being responsible to a family and creating what needs to happen. You can go out and try and get things without working for them. And you will leave disaster in your wake. You were created to be a legacy leaver. God tells Adam, here are the rules, pass them on to your wife. You're built to learn. You're built to receive knowledge. You're built to be practical, logical. You're built, according to Proverbs, to gain wisdom, to gain understanding. You're teaching something. What is it going to be? Have you ever noticed how little boys will copy older boys? Have you ever noticed how much young men want to be like their dad? You are leaving an imprint and you are leaving a legacy. What kind of legacy is it? You see, God's intent was that mankind would multiply, would fill the earth, that we would be fruitful, and that we would pass down the love of God, His rules, His character. You were designed to be a legacy leaver. This is hugely uncomfortable for me. I don't want to think about this stuff. This whole message bothers me. My society tells me I need to work towards retirement when I don't have to go to work anymore. And yet I know lots of retired people that without something to be productive with, something to do, just kind of lay down and die. And I can't find retirement from growing with God and investing in people and being a part of what He's doing. I can't even find that in my Bible. All of my days I'm to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength and serve Him as such. But He created me to work. He created me to be involved with my creation, to grow in wisdom and stature as a boy and to become a man and take on responsibility. And this is part of this legacy leaving. To say, I have a responsibility to be productive in my world, not a consumer. I have a responsibility to build and create a home. For this reason, a man leaves his father and mother. You get a way to make a living. You find a wife. And you start a life, right? And you begin to produce and you begin to protect and you begin to make a legacy. And next week we're going to talk about how selfishness and sin comes in and takes away from this. And Proverbs has so much to say about being careful with your choices so your legacy isn't one of disaster. Because unlike everyone else, I can get selfish. I can get turned inward. I can say, I'm not happy. in my marriage or in my work or in my this or in my that. You pick it. And you can start to say, well, it might be better over here, over there, if I didn't have this responsibility. And we'll talk about the quitters next week. The guys who start out and just give up because it's hard. Because it's toil. Because I actually have to repent or be humble or work through something. We'll talk about the desire of God to be bearers of His image. Productive warriors who leave a legacy. And then we'll have to ask some hard, hard questions. But the Bible says you're leaving a legacy, you're teaching with your life. And I watch little guys try and imitate their dads. They imitate how they walk, they imitate how they talk. And I watch them when they don't have a dad or with their, even with them, when they're with older kids, try and imitate the older kids, right? And I ache for those little guys. Where dad's absent, uninvolved, selfish, or gone. And the church family isn't even operating properly. And no one's raising the bar and saying, this is what it is. Listen to what Piper wrote. He says, no one will criticize you if you poke holes in ugly stereotypes of manhood and womanhood. It's a very safe and customary pastime, but 100 people will wait to be your judge. If you try to develop a positive vision for your daughters of what it means to be feminine, or for your sons of what it means to be masculine. And so by and large, we don't do it. We leave them confused, telling them what it's not, but not telling them what it is. Listen, I am a dad. I want my kids to enjoy God's very best. I am a husband and a father, and that means I have to have a hard look at my life as you men do right now. First, are you being productive? I don't mean are you holding a job necessarily, although that's important because you got to eat. Are you being productive? Now, you might say, I am advancing at work. I am upgrading our stuff. I am expanding my territory. Okay, good. But that will eventually just turn you into a consumer. Are you being productive in rooting sin out of your life, in growing closer to God? In doing in obedience those things that God asks you to do? In serving others in your church, in leading with humility and brokenness? Are you being productive where it counts? Because what's on God's scorecard? Second question you really have to ask yourself is, am I willing to be a warrior? It is way easier to say, yeah, go ahead to your kids than say, no, it ain't happening here. It is way easier to put a few more hours in at work than to invest in training them up in the way they should go. It is way easier to give in than to stand up. Are you a warrior for injustice? Against it. Against injustice. Are you a warrior to protect your family? Are you a warrior and what kind of a legacy are you leaving? See, you're leaving a legacy whether you like it or not. And we're going to talk next week about, you know, this whole truth that this is happening whether you're engaging in it or not. So just because you're not doing a bad thing doesn't mean it's okay not to do the right thing. What kind of a legacy are you leaving? See, God made us in His image. And if He made you a man, He's given you a role. He made you very specifically. He created the earth and He said, let's make mankind in our image. Let's make a man and let's put creation here, and He's to tend and to manage and to multiply and fill and to do all these things. I have a design. And sin brought some hard things into that design. But how are you doing, men, at understanding the role God made you for and embracing it? He made us to be productive. He made us to be warriors. And he made us to be legacy leavers. What you're doing doesn't just affect you, that's Satan's lie. It affects the generations that follow you. I stand here today because my grandfather, already a married man with one boy, was in the barn milking cows, and he heard a gospel preacher over the radio. And he was man enough to humble himself and recognize his need for a Savior. And it changed the trajectory of our whole family. And because of his willingness to bow his knee to God, my dad was raised in a Christian home. And because my dad was raised in a Christian home, God put his hand on his life and called him to do something for him. And my dad met my mom, who was raised in a Christian home, and they had kids, and they've introduced us all to God. And my children have the opportunity to know and love Jesus because of what was done for me. Man, you are made to be legacy leavers. What kind of a legacy are you leaving? And if it's not a good one, or if it's an unintentional one, or if you are flitting right on the edge of abandoning your responsibilities or seeking happiness somewhere or satisfaction through some other thing, man, return, return. There's nothing but disaster over that edge. Let's pray. Father in heaven, your word is truth. Wipe out all that's just been me. I know what you're doing in my life. And do in my friend's life a deep and an abiding work. Help us to understand the job you created us for and the image that you gave us to use and embrace it. And help us to be masculine, to be warriors, to fill our role, to be productive. And most of all, Father, enable us, in spite of ourselves, to leave a legacy of a home that honors you, of children that know you, of a wife who's cherished and honored and enabled to be everything you've created her to be. And we know we can only do that with your help. And so help myself and my friends, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.